This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy Worship Team podcast. Like I said, my name is Julie. I'm so excited to be here with you today. We're going to finish up a series that we are talking about unhealthy mindsets in a worship leader. Our very first one, we talked about resentment and powerlessness, like feeling like you just can't, you don't have any way to change your circumstances or to make things better. And the second one, we talked about not having enough. I don't have what I need. I don't have the resources. I don't have the skill. I don't have the talent. And really the heart of that, which is comparison. And then this last episode, we talked about the attitude of, oh, it's good enough. Who cares? Everybody knows my heart. I can kind of do however I want to do, and it's no big deal. And we talked about how that attitude does not reflect an attitude that is honoring to the Lord or honoring to the people that God's given us to serve. So today we're going to talk about an unhealthy mindset that I heard very much in when I was asking questions of worship leaders about what the biggest problems were. Now, I want to say one of the biggest problems that people said, and they literally said it with absolutely no other words. They would just say the top three problems of leading a worship team is people. They said number one, people, number two, people, number three, people. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have an unhealthy mindset toward people, but the unhealthy attitude that can happen is people are the problem. If people would get their act together, if my team would just do what they're supposed to do, if people would just worship God, if people would just come to church on time so they don't miss the first half of the first worship song, then we wouldn't have these problems and I wouldn't be so frustrated. Then I could serve the Lord with all my heart and we would have no issues. And if people could really see the gifting that's inside of me, the presence of God would come. If people would just get their act together, they're the problem. Now, just think about that as you're hearing me talk, because what I'm doing is I'm consolidating what I hear and also an attitude that I think everybody, I don't want to separate myself from the group of people, because it's a mentality that we can all have. And the mentality is they're the problem. And if it was just me and God, everything would be great. Right? So, but as you hear me saying it all together, can you hear how, incorrect and ungodly that mindset is? If you have any history with the Lord, now if you're brand new to leading in a church ministry, then that's a really natural kind of thought to have. But if you have spent some years reading your Bible and studying under people and being spoken into, then you know this life with God is not just you and God. That's not how He set it up. He set us up as a body of believers together who have multiple skills and giftings and perspectives on purpose so that we would work together, so that we would be able to cover, so that we'd be able to do all the things that God has asked us to do. And so I just want to challenge you about this mentality. If you have served the Lord for any number of years and you are finding yourself saying, people are the problem, I just wish they would go away so I could do my job well, then it's time for like a big time reset, big time. So let's get into this just a little bit. One thing that I have learned, first of all, nothing that we can accomplish as a church is possible without being in community with one another. Absolutely nothing, including the process and the maturing and the sanctification in your life, that happens in relationship with other people. And so I want you to, as you read your word this year, and as you spend time with the Lord, as you read some of the letters to the church, Like, look for not just the thing that you're supposed to do for God and that God's supposed to do in you. I want you to look for and listen for the times that Paul or any of the writers is telling you how to interact with other people. So I can't go any farther than that than going to one of my favorite chapters that's kind of been a focus of mine for the last little while, and that's Romans 12. Because the beginning, the whole beginning of Romans is just laying out the work of Christ and what he's done and why it's complete. And so then it's this turning point in chapter 12, which we all know as worship leaders, because the first verse says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," like looking back at the last 11 chapters that I've written to you guys, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So let's apply that to our life today as worship leaders. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, mentalities and mindsets that do not follow the heart or character or plan of God. Do not allow yourself to look at people as less than God's expression of love and reflection of his glory on the earth. Challenge yourself to see them. Challenge yourself to see your role as a leader over people differently than how the world sees things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way your mind sees things so that you can test and approve what God's will is. And so then it goes into humble service. Verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." So let's just start right there. Don't think of yourself as more highly than you ought. So I want to just dig into that for a second, okay? There can be a tendency, if you're just a natural leader and you can see things super clearly and make decisions really quickly and it's easy for you to see directional, like where you should go and how you should go. And then you feel that tension of, yeah, but why doesn't my team see things the same way that I do? Like, I can see this clearly. I see the things that we're going to need to navigate through. I can see why this, you know, why we need to change something specific, like maybe change how your rehearsal is going, or you need to move into new, more modern songs, or you need to change the layout of how the team is on the platform. Those are things that are easy for you to see. And so then you're like, why is this so difficult for my team to understand? Okay, so first of all, we acknowledge you have a gift of leadership. That's a good thing. If you can see out in front of you and you can see the benefit of a future change, that's a great thing. But what does it look like for someone like you to think of yourself more highly than you ought? For you to look at someone on your team who maybe has a different gifting, someone who has a very deep mercy gift, or someone who you're seeing them have a lot of fear of change, and you look at that as a weakness and as a heavy weight on you, instead of recognizing that they bring a perspective that is valuable and important, that can be you thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Like, take a minute and think about your team right now and the team members that cause you the most friction and the most struggle, that cause you the most frustration. And I want you to, I understand that there's friction, and I understand that you don't see eye to eye. Also, like, you're the one in charge, so you have a responsibility there to make decisions. But don't forget that they're here for a reason. Even if they're even as difficult as they feel to you, they have a perspective that's important. If they're following the Lord and they're trying to do their best as well, and there's that friction between you and them, stop for a second, lay down your arms, lay down your frustration. And I want you to just like write a list out of things that they, of giftings that they have. You should be able to know and see those things. You can list out the giftings that they have that they bring to the team, but also their motivational giftings, their spiritual giftings that they have laid out in the Bible. Some people have a gift of mercy. Some have a gift of leadership, of teaching, of service. People who have a very high gift of service, they are going to be people who can help execute a vision. And so they may have a little bit of a difficulty actually seeing or understanding the vision before it's come to the point where they need to execute it. Does that make sense? So say you're the visionary and you are talking about something that's 6 months in advance and it's really bold and bodacious. You know, you're going to do your first night of worship, or you're going to do a you know, something special. You want to do a creative project or something. And your person who you know is going to have issues with it, they start like, oh no, we can't do that. And they start poking holes in it and just, you know, just taking all the wind out of your sails. Okay. Just take a minute and remember, they have a gifting, they have a purpose, they have a place. Value that. And also recognize some conversations may not be good for everybody to be part of during the planning phase. That's just part of life. So we don't want to think of ourselves as more highly than we ought. You know what you know, and you know what you think, and you know how you see things. What about the rest of the team? Take a second and think about what it's like to live life through their eyes. And remember that they have valid and important roles as well. There are some, I'm a very visionary person. I love forward motion, forward action. I want to see dreams come true. I want to see goals be achieved. I want to see health and growth and freshness. And I feel excited, and I feel like I am the most motivated when there's something exciting to look forward to. Okay. And then there are people on my team that their biggest thing that they think about is how everybody is handling and dealing with where we're going. And so that was a big cause of friction for me, where I was like, you are slowing this down by trying to make me think about how everybody feels about this decision before we move forward. Now, what I've learned since then is that it doesn't matter how clear my vision is. It doesn't matter how excited I am. If my team is not coming with me, then we're not going to get to do what we're going to do. And so I started to pay attention to my high mercy gift people, my very socially and people oriented team members. They're my thermometer. I stopped resisting their input, and I actually started asking for their input and watching them and asking them how they feel and how this feels to them and where they see themselves playing a part in the vision and how they see where they see potential hangups on our way toward those goals. And that way it's counterintuitive to what my giftings are. That's why I need them, because it's not just my way or the highway. This is a team when we're moving together as a team. Okay, so verse 4, just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That means I belong to them as much as they belong to me. And so my gift is only as effective as it works within the function of the body. And just because I have a role of leading the team or leading the charge of a project or a vision or a goal, that does not make my role more important than the other parts. So, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Understanding that each one of these gifts are needed for us to function as a body keeps us from thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. And so I don't sit around and pat myself on the back for having strong leadership skills. No, because mercy is painfully low for me. It's growing now because of the way that I've started to value it. And some other gifts too, where I'm like, yeah, I could really use some help in that area. I need help. And instead of me beating myself up and be like, I just need to be more merciful. No, I just need to be around merciful people and let it rub off on me. And it's kind of how it's worked. Like, we all grow and we all get better as we work together. So moving on, just going down through this chapter, hopefully this is just a good encouragement and reminder to you guys. The next verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. So I just, that love must be sincere. Can we just stop and have a little quick aside? It is tempting to protect yourself when you are, we as worship leaders and people on worship teams, we're constantly out there on the platform working so hard to function from our identity in Christ and not be just tied up in knots over how people think that we're good or good enough. And in some congregations, people actually feel the need to kind of tell you if they think it was good enough or not good enough, or if they think you should do something different to be better. And that can be really difficult. It's a hard process to go through, especially if you do ever experience unsolicited input on your performance. And sincerity can be the first thing to go out the door when there's insecurity involved. I've heard more, you know, self-deprecation. I love self-deprecation, but there can be a lack of sincerity when it comes to people who, especially worshipers, I don't know. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't feel like an indicator that you are healthy and that you are staying soft-hearted is if you can be sincere. If every word that comes out of your mouth is sarcasm, and you might make people laugh, but do they really know you? Like, are you willing to show them what really matters to you and what you really care about? That's what I'm saying. It's one of the biggest works in your life is to learn how to be sincere. And I want to just encourage you, if that's something that you struggle with, if you don't know how to be sincere because you're afraid that people aren't going to accept you or love you, then dig into that with the Lord and say, okay, God, I've been kind of hiding behind jokes and just trying to keep things going, but I don't know how to be really truly sincere with someone because I'm afraid that I'm going to be rejected. That is a good place to go with the Lord and say, Lord, could you heal my heart? Could you show me how you really love me and how you care for me? Even if you have people that are giving you feedback that's difficult, there's still a safe place in the love of God that keeps you able to be open and tenderhearted toward God and toward people. And then verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted to each other in love. That doesn't happen on accident. Like, I'll never forget, I think it's a different scripture. I think it's in 1 Peter, but like I said in the last episode about familiarity, I grew up in the same church my whole life, and I'd had friends since birth. You know, I mean, like, we went to school together, went to church together, and it was just there. Like, that friendship was there. Well, fast forward after high school, and we both go off to college, and we start serving the Lord, we get married, all those kinds of things. And you start to realize, I had this moment where I realized, oh, this friendship is not a guarantee. If I don't invest in my friend, if I don't show her that I love her dearly and do things that a friend would do, this friendship is not guaranteed. I needed to be devoted to her in love, not above other things. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we just have this, we can treat people in the body of Christ. Like, you're here, I'm here. We're members of the same church. We're not going anywhere. So we can bite at each other or be upset with each other, but not actually deal with conflict or, be frustrated or, deal with dysfunction instead of truly being devoted to one another, like actually serving each other and honoring each other and speaking well and thinking well of the people around us. If you want to see this happen in your team, remember several episodes ago, I talked about a healthy worship team. This will happen as you allow your own heart to be developed and to be cultivated in this way. He asks you, leader, to not think of yourself more highly than you ought, to be devoted to the people in your team and at your church, to be devoted to them in love, and also to honor them above yourself. And so there's this other side as well, though, with people. And so some leaders, I tend more toward, like I said, the side of, I see things clearly. I don't understand what the problem is. Like, let's just blaze on. This person needs to get with it. I don't know why they can't see things the way I see them. The other side, which is very much another very common side, which is people who genuinely love and they want to serve so deeply, and they will say yes to everything and anything and then struggle with some resentment and some hurt because people aren't giving the same care and love back. And for leaders, there's this growth that has to happen, that being devoted to someone in love and not thinking of yourself too highly is super important, but being devoted and serving them does not always mean saying yes to them. In fact, if you're always saying yes, you're not always telling the truth. So what does that look like for a leader? A leader hears someone on their team, someone there, they are responsible to lead, okay? Because remember, we talk about going looking up, we've got our people on our level, and then we have the people that we lead. We are responsible to God for how we lead this team, okay? So now you get a team member who comes to you and say you have a very strong mercy gift in your leading. And by the way, we need you. We need you so much. If you have a strong mercy gift and it's hard for you to say no to people, the tenderness and the gentleness and the care that God has given you is an important gift to the body of Christ, and you are very qualified to lead. However, this is what you're going to have to learn how to do. Someone on your team comes to you and says, I don't like this song, or I don't like this layout, I don't want to serve in this way, or I don't think that this should happen. And because you would rather be in peace with that person, you say yes to them instead of holding your role and responsibility as a leader as higher and holding them and saying, hey, I understand that this is difficult, but we can't do that. By saying yes to everything, you're not actually saying yes to everything. You're saying yes in order to try to keep some semblance of peace or to avoid displeasing someone that you lead. But if you lead in that way, you will be the one who's chasing the team down a runaway team down the track. And you will find yourself feeling frustrated, and there can be resentment there when you don't say no at the right times. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're that type of leader, first of all, I am so thankful for you. I purposefully want to be around leaders who have a tender heart and who it's difficult for them to say no, because I want to be gentle and kind and considerate of other people like they are. But you're going to have to learn how to say no, and you're going to have to learn how to hold the tension of, I love people and I want to care for them. And also, I have a responsibility to lead the direction of this team, and I cannot allow other people's desires and preferences to determine where this is going. I get my direction and I get my vision from my senior leader, and then I take the responsibility to lead the team in that direction. And as my team comes to me with difficulty or challenge or displeasure at certain things, my job is to help them see the trajectory, to understand the purpose of it, and then to be with them in the discomfort of, this is new, this is change, it's hard, I don't like it, without allowing their discomfort to determine whether or not you move forward or not. It's the same thing as parenting. Your child can come to you and say, we are not going to have dessert tonight. And your child may say, this is the worst day of my entire life. Now, as a parent, if you allow your child to say that and that determines whether or not they have dessert, you're not actually doing a good job leading them as a parent. You know what's best for your children. You know whether or not dessert tonight is something that needs to happen, and you've already spoken and decided that that's what's going to happen. And so the best thing that can happen is for you to hold that boundary, but also stay connected to them and say, oh man, that's so difficult. I'm so sorry that this is the worst night ever of your entire life. Tell me more how you feel. And if any of you have spent time in counseling, if you haven't, the idea of allowing or asking people questions about how they feel and getting them to say more is like really terrifying, until you realize that's actually how you like create a pressure release valve so that people can feel heard and connected to, including your kids. So anyways, what I'm saying is that you're the leader. They're the team member. God's given you authority for a reason, and you're following the instruction and the vision and the direction that your senior leader has given you. And so one of the ways that you can love people and not look at them as the problem is by allowing yourself to hold the authority and to say, I understand this is difficult. I'm right here with you. I'm not going to leave you. We're going to go through this together, but this is what it's going to be. And to be able to say no when certain things happen as well. So for those of you who have a hard time saying no, my heart goes out to you. You can just be like, I'm just going to pretend to be Julie really quick and just say, love you guys so much, but this is what we're going to do. So, and also just the same way that I really try to surround myself with people that have complementary giftings than I do. If you're a person with a high mercy gift, get around some strong backbone of steel people and let their mentality and their attitude rub off on you in the right ways. Find people that love Jesus, that love people, and who have that natural gifting, and get around them. Let them mentor you. Ask them how they process their decisions and make those things happen. How do they value people while also not allowing them to run them ragged? So, okay, unhealthy mindset, people are the problem. They are not the problem. The people are. They are your greatest gift in life, because through the people that God has given you to connect with, you will experience the love of God, the restoration of God, the maturing that God has for you. They are the ministry. There is no ministry without people. There is no kingdom of God without people. So just be encouraged. You are people too. I love you guys, and I say it with all the love of my heart. That's what I've got for you today. I just want to thank you so much for listening in. I hope this is encouraging. I hope it helps you to see your team through new eyes. But I just, final thought, if you have that mentality of people are the problem, I really challenge you to go get counseling, start talking to somebody that can mentor you and help you, because that mindset will eat you alive. It's so counter to what God actually says in the Word. So fight it. Fight against that mindset. Bring new attitudes to what you do so that you can be sustained and strengthened as you lead people in worship. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you'd follow me on the platform that you're streaming on. You can follow me at the Healthy Worship Team on Instagram, and you can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com. You can ask me any questions you want. If you want me to cover a certain topic, a certain practical issue on your team, I would love, love, love to hear from you and hear what you think. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing week, and we see you next time.